So tonight we're in 1 Peter, and we're actually going back to verses 8 through 12. We're revisiting these verses. So let's read them. 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 12. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And if there's any teaching that I believe would be most just expeditious for us to go over and over and over multiple times, it was last week's teaching. That's definitely one of those. We need to seriously make the transition of just knowing about these truths that are dealing with good and evil to living these truths. Specifically, that when it comes, that whatever comes from our life that is not of God, not from God, not birthed from the divine, it is evil. And we must not hold anything back in our fight against this evil. We are to reject it, throw it away. We must discard it, just completely abandon it. Besides, the consequences to the person who is now and continually, actively doing evil are just horrifying. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we got to think about that. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And remember, we're not just talking about being bad or doing nasty things. No, that is not a true biblical definition of evil. We are talking about anything, even the mundane and seemingly good and innocent aspect of our lives that does not spring forth from our new nature, the new creation, from our having been submitted by the Spirit of God to the Lord. Think about it. I mean, this explains a lot in our lives. If you desire to experience the place of deepest intimacy, closeness with God, where you know the eyes of the Lord are to you and his ears are attending to your prayer, then we're instructed that you must turn away from evil and do good, remembering that only God is truly good. That means you must live out the design point. We've talked about it so much now. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You must be willing to walk the pathway of the cross and put away all those fleshly lusts, just of self-pity and self-love and all that keeps you beholden to your evil. And if you do, the blessing of God that he will speak over your lives will be unbelievable. But first, everybody in this body has to get to that place where you actually and practically, not just theoretically, consider all in your life that you have thought to be good and not so bad as evil. And keep in mind, when it comes to evil, the standard of measure is not your perception of how things should be, but it's all about the source. If your thoughts, emotions, and actions come forth from the Spirit of God who dwells in your new creation, then what comes from your life will by definition be good. Everything else, not just something else, but everything else that comes from your life will come forth from your old sinful nature, and it's by definition evil. No matter how spiritual it may seem or how trivial it may seem. And this evil always damages and destroys. And it works through lies and deceptions. And its love is hypocrisy. Now, second, and of critical importance, is we have to stop acting as if there is some middle ground between good and evil. The Lord doesn't present a third option. He just juxtaposes good and evil. It's one or the other. Accordingly, we have to stop acting as if this illusion of a middle ground is safe or not really all that bad. And this so-called middle ground of goodness is really just evil. Because you see, as a believer, you do have only two natures, not three. An old sinful nature and a new creation, which is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And your mind and emotions are merely aspects of your being that are enslaved at any given time to one or the other nature. Romans 6 refers to these natures as being masters over our mind and emotions. Therefore, regardless of what we think or the type of religious gyrations in which we might indulge, when we live from our old sinful nature, we have in effect turned from God and presented ourselves to another master, which explains why his face is against us. We've literally interrupted our fellowship with him and sadly chose to take our advice and direction from an enemy of God who loves evil. So just picture in your head talking to two separate friends who just happen to hate each other. And literally just turning your back on the one, completely ignoring what they are saying. And just focusing your attention on the other party. And you don't even have to do everything that they tell you. But the fact that you're facing them, listening to them, and getting input from them is really, really hurtful to that other person. It's hurtful to your fellowship with them. You've broken that fellowship as you've turned away from them. You see, that is our dynamic that goes on day in and day out, either way, with the Spirit or with our old nature. Galatians 5:17 says that our choices are never free from this conflict. And since our old nature is an enemy of God, when we are not listening and following God's directions, then we are by default listening and following the directions of an enemy of God. Again, there's no middle ground. Nevertheless, the Lord is waiting for you to turn to him and seek his face so he can bless you. For you were called to inherit a blessing. That is his desire. And as for me, it's something I want. I want his blessing. Accordingly, I've been willing to walk the pathway of the cross, and I will continue to walk it. I'll continue to die to that which pulls me away from that place of deepest intimacy with the Lord. And I will continue to deal with the errors in my life that do not come from him. The good thing is that he's very faithful to show those to me. And he takes me step by step so I can learn to let the Spirit cause me to be submitted to him. And he wants the deepest form of intimacy with me. In fact, he yearns for it. He's been fighting for it all my life. That is always his goal. And the thing is, he wants complete reciprocity and mutuality in the relationship. Accordingly, he wants me to be as maniacally focused on his voice and the directions he speaks over my life as he is maniacally focused over my life. He yearns to bless me. And he wants me to know him so completely, just like he wants you to know him so completely. And he yearns to bless you. Every single one of you were called to inherit a blessing. And here's the thing. This is something we can do. And we can do it together. He has led us this far. And he has entrusted us with so many secrets. Have you ever thought about that? Why he does that? It's because he delights in us. He delights in each of you. And he believes that each of us can make the choice to put away evil and do good. And this, again, is something we can do together. Now, this concept of putting away evil and turning from it is not a new thought in Peter. It goes back to and is integrated with three key verses. 1 Peter 1:14-16, which says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance," those fleshly lusts of self-pity and self-love. "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And 1 Peter 2:5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now let's tie all this together. For holiness and the priesthood go together. In fact, holiness is a prerequisite for serving as a priest. Now, I want to remind you, holy literally means to be set apart from that which is common, or to be dedicated for a specific purpose. Hence the call for us to live as aliens and strangers in this world, free from the bonds of evil. That's our call for holiness. To be holy, however, does not mean to be entirely without sin. That's not going to happen until we're out of these bodies. It's about living your calling and fulfilling your purpose. You have been sent into this world as Christ's ambassadors. You represent the kingdom of God. You are his beloved. And you've been given very specific assignments. And each of you has been spiritually equipped to carry out those assignments. Thus, as priests of God, holiness is to impinge or encroach upon every single part of your lives without exception. If anybody's not paying attention, pay attention now. Holiness is to impinge on every part of your lives without exception. You must be set apart from that which is common and that which is evil. And the Lord is not just talking about trying to control or change your behavior. Remember, behavior is just the fruit of the decision you have already made in terms of your holiness. This is about being set apart in your thoughts and emotions. Set apart for that which is of God, such that what you do in terms of your behavior is a natural byproduct of one who knows their calling, of one who knows they're holy, and one who is willing to live as one who is holy, just as he is holy. Since we have been studying in Peter, we, and I say we, have taken seriously this call to live as aliens and strangers in the world. But I can tell you right now, the Lord seems very excited, ecstatic even, for us to finish this task. So we can be those holy priests who are busy offering up spiritual sacrifices, who are no longer indulging in the things that come from our sinful nature. This is the pathway that as a body, God is aggressively taking us down. Holiness. This is portrayed in the vision we received on the 13th of this month. I saw us all walking single file down a path that got narrower and narrower. Then there is water all around the path, and the path continued to get narrower and narrower. Then the path was gone, and we were all just swimming toward the horizon and a beautiful sunset. Our path is getting narrower and narrower in terms of the separation that he requires of us. And the beautiful part is that it ends in this ocean of grace, which is a picture of our supernatural enablement to live as set apart people in this world. It's beautiful. In our studies in Haggai, God asked us to be very busy and build him a temple. And he didn't mean a physical church building, but a living temple. As he said in 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. However, this spiritual house set apart for the holy priesthood is not to be built via the work of our hands. That's evil, right? Completely evil. Our striving, our trying, our wrestling, it's evil. It's to be built with our hearts. What did he tell us? Hands build walls, hearts build temples. Build my temple. And he's told us to be serious about this work that he's assigned to us. He said, now go up into the hills and bring down timber and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord, from Haggai chapter 1. He says, take courage and work, for I am with you, says the Lord Almighty. My spirit remains among you just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. And also in Haggai, the future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord Almighty, have spoken. I mean, this is powerful. Remember, he told us to pursue peace. He's going to bring it. Him, the truth. The glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory. But then he also said, in Haggai 2, 11 through 17, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest for a ruling. He's asking all of us here. If a man carries holy meat in his fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priest answered, it will become unclean. Then Haggai said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so is every work of their hands. And what they offer there is unclean. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would only be 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would only be 20. I smote you and every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. We have been instructed to build this temple, a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. And this will be a temple of great glory because it will be occupied by priests busy offering up holy sacrifices. And that is why he is now reminding us of the evil that is still a part of our lives. Even our own attempts to remove the evil which plagues us is an evil work of the hands. Evil simply has no place in the temple or in its building efforts. Yet I'm afraid there are still aspects of his holiness or our holiness which we have not yet taken seriously. Sadly, it seems that if we are not experiencing some awful consequence of our choices, that we tend to be kind of content with our evil. Sadly, if we're not doing anything really bad, we're kind of just content with our evil. But this must not be. We are set apart. We are holy. And Jesus wants us to choose to live as his holy beloved. He wants us to despise, reject, scorn. Scorn. And put off the evil from our lives. I mean, it's so active. It's aggressive even. How many of you scorned evil this week as those emotions and feelings were welling up in you? Did you scorn them and have nothing to do with them? Did you reject them? Jesus wants us to hate everything that does not derive from the Spirit and cause us to be submitted to him. That includes such things which I know plague our body as deep, deep fear, deceit, and religious hypocrisy, bitterness, jealousy, hierarchy, apathy, unauthorized sexual indulgences, eating disorders, boundaries of self-protection, intense insecurity, gratuitous indulgence in emotions, and all the other things that the Lord has showed us and asked us to purge. We are to hate these things, not be okay with them. All that emotion that you love to indulge in, let it be focused on hating this evil. And you will take territory faster than you could ever imagine. Now, thankfully, despite all our stubbornness, he still made us an awesome promise, which just shows you how confident he is in all of us. Not just me, all of us. Haggai 2:18 through 19. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. I mean, what a marvelous promise. And I believe he made this promise to us so we will be motivated to complete the building of the temple and to complete it from our hearts. How many of you have kind of grown weary and have stopped working and have run back into your own homes to take care of yourself? How many of you have completely forgot this job that was assigned to us? How many of you are once again building your own house, making sure it's furnished, beautiful inside, safe and secure? Have you turned back to your own wisdom in the day in and day out details of your life? Have you kind of just given yourself over to the evil, resigned yourself to the fact that it's there, it's been there your whole life, so nothing I can do about it? Just because it's so much easier to resign yourself to it than fighting what seems to be impossible? Have you forgotten to daily consider what the Lord had done with us in the past and how he took away so much from us to induce us to be about his work? Have you forgotten the great promise he's made to bless us? We were called to inherit a blessing, and he says, from this day on, I will bless you. It's time to get back out of your houses. Get out, get back to work now. We need you. The work must go on, and we must finish the task. We are building a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, not an evil priesthood. Now, as part of this temple, the Lord has also asked me, very specifically, to build him a sanctuary. And here are the verses that were given to me. The first one I received back in 2010. And the last two I received just this week. So he's putting the pressure on. Psalm 132, 1 through 5. Lord, remember David and all that he suffered. He made a solemn promise to the Lord. He vowed to the mighty one of Israel, I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the mighty one of Israel. 1 Chronicles 22:18 through 19. The Lord your God is with you. He has given you peace with the surrounding nations. He has handed them over to me, and they are now subject to the Lord and his people. Now seek the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that you can bring the ark of the Lord's covenant and the holy vessels of God into the temple built to honor the Lord's name. And 1 Chronicles 28:10, so take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Now, for those of you who may not know it, if you study Leviticus, you'll find that there's a place marked out within the tabernacle structure, or later the temple structure, that is set apart and thereby considered to be holy, where only the priests of God are allowed to enter. This place is called the holy place, or the sanctuary of the Lord. It's not a place for the common people. It's exclusively set apart for the priests. And it's not a place for evil, but only for that which is good. In studying Leviticus, I became exhausted just considering what the priests had to do to purify themselves in order to just serve in this temple. I mean, it's extreme. But what they did to purify themselves was their distinction that set them apart from all others. And if you think about it, what they did was actually not unlike what we have to do to prepare to serve in the temple. Like them, we have to turn away from evil and offer up spiritual sacrifices whereby we put to death those fleshly lusts of self-pity and self-love. And we reject the permissiveness, but delusional zone of just our own personal goodness that we tend to live in. See, the calling of a priest is extreme. And I want you to keep in mind that if a priest ever violated the requirement of holiness, he was to be dragged out of the temple and killed by the entire community. Similarly, the Lord says that if we, as priests, set our minds on the flesh and that which does not derive from the divine, then likewise we die. Romans 8:6, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And then within this holy place, the sanctuary, there's also a super holy place, the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest was allowed to enter. In the old days, the holy place and the Holy of Holies was separated by a very thick curtain. Hebrews 10:19-20 says that Christ, our high priest, entered into this Holy of Holies and tore down this curtain of separation between these two holy places. Now we are free to come into the most holy place with complete boldness. It says it's a life-giving way which Christ opened up by his death on the cross. And in his footsteps, we are called to follow. For this place is still holy. You see, in the same passage, in Hebrews 10:29-31, the Spirit says that it's a big mistake, huge mistake, to treat the blood of the covenant which has cleansed us as if it were just common and unholy. It is an insult to the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to people. Which is why the Lord promised to judge his own people, his own household, saying it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Now, this promise of judgment for the house of God is also given to us in 1 Peter 4:17. We'll get there. Where the Spirit affirms that before God can ever judge unbelievers in this world, he judges his own household. The point is, we must take holiness seriously. He is a holy God, and we are to be like him. We're to be fully identified in the fact that we are holy priests building a holy house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That is who we are. That is how we live. And it's our very identity. And everyone else should know it. There's not a single person that is involved in your life that should see or know anything differently. The Lord has instructed me to take this call to build a sanctuary, this holy place, quite seriously. This sanctuary he desires for a habitat, a place of his dwelling, is this body. Now, I believe that this is the life that he desires for all believers. But sadly, so many believers are content with living with the common and considering their own personal goodness as something which God should be pleased and satisfied with. So they practically turn their backs on him, and his face is set against them, even though they think they are doing great deeds for God. But we, collectively, have begun to take this call serious. This call to live as aliens and strangers. To separate ourselves from the ties and connection to this world which control us and cause us to live seeking validation, worth, acceptance, honor, and glory in this world. We have taken this seriously. But he wants us to go all the way. He wants this temple to be more glorious than the prior temple. He wants to dwell in the midst of us in a way that is beyond understanding. Therefore, he wants us to purge the evil in our lives and choose to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he is excited about this. He's so excited for us. Now, I want you to consider the following. Matthew 13, 12 through 17. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return to the Lord, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. See, God has given us so much. He's taught us unbelievable things through every book we have studied. He has shared so many secrets with us, and he has shown us who we are in his eyes, collectively and individually. He's taught us how to fight and wage war. He's given us great victory after victory. He's taught us about unity, the power of unity and the connectedness in a body. He's taught us about intimacy. He's given us his wisdom regarding living life in the Spirit of God. And he shared with us his mind on so many things. We are truly blessed. And here's the thing. He has so much more to give us. Because we have listened. And in so many places, though not all, admittedly, we have taken him at his word. Accordingly, we hear, we see, we perceive, and we understand, and he has returned to us and has already healed us from so much. I know for me, just the healing I have experienced over this past year from my own dysfunctional ways of self-protection and my own trap of personal goodness and shame, I mean, it's been phenomenal. I love the freedom he has given me, a freedom from myself, and a freedom to love you and be loved by you. And I know so many of you have experienced similar healing. He has returned to us. And he intends on completing every promise he made to us. We just need to let the Spirit of God cause us to be submissive to the Lord in all things and in all areas of our lives. We are to be holy as he is holy. Now I'm asking you to join me now and seek the Lord God with all your heart and soul. Build the sanctuary of the Lord God so we can bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant and the holy vessels of God in the temple built to honor the Lord's name. These vessels, I mean, it's the Ark, the lampstand, the altar of incense, and the table of bread. That's what was in the sanctuary. And I'm not sure of the entirety of what's imaged in this instruction, but it sounds amazing. But what I do understand is that it means we, as individuals and a collective, will become a meeting place where the people of God can truly come to meet him and experience his mercy through our lives. We will be a place where prayers are offered up to the Lord on behalf of his people. Perhaps this is the peace treaty that we are to be praying about. And we will be the lamp of his new covenant that continually shines with the oil of the Spirit of God. We will be that place where people come to know that God is their living manna. That Jesus is their perpetual loaf of bread, the means of sustenance all the time. The one who fills, nourishes, and satisfies. We have been set apart. And we are to be holy as he is holy. Now, I want you to remember the words he spoke to us on November 19th, 2012. Listen to me, you who have given your heart. I have plans for this body that require your undivided focus and strength. We need to take this seriously. He demands our undivided focus and strength. We focus far much more in an undivided way on the me. He wants that. No more serving ourselves. No more running around putting out fires because we're freaking out over this or that. He wants us to settle into who he is and our holiness in him. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. He doesn't say be weak and whine and cry and go home and, you know, be annoyed. No, be strong and do the work. It's not easy work to put to death the evil and complacency in your life, but it's time to do it. Undivided focus and strength. All of this reminds me of a promise from Zechariah 8 he made to me many years ago, partway through my storm. And it also reminds me of what he's spoken to over us in this body in terms of the rings of light that proceed from us and out to Boulder. And the vine which shoots from our body outward and spreads all over. And whoever had that vine vision, send it to me again because I lost it. Anyway, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20 through 23. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. People from nations and cities around the world will travel to Jerusalem. The people of one city will say to the people of another, come with us to Jerusalem to ask the Lord to bless us. Let's worship the Lord of Heaven's armies. I'm determined to go. Many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord of Heaven's armies and to ask for his blessing. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. In those days, 10 men from different nations and languages of the world will clutch at the sleeve of one Jew, and they will say, please, let us walk with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Be strong and do the work. Others are depending upon us completing this task. They want to walk with us. To me, that's extremely exciting. But with that said, again, this work is not easy. Turning from evil is hard because it requires death. You don't just beat it up and pummel it. You crucify it. You don't just spank it and punish it and yell at it and be mad and be frustrated and go, I don't like you. You put it on the cross and you crucify it. You don't just ignore it, hoping it'll go away, thinking that if you're not paying attention to it, it's going to get mad and finally leave in a pout and a hissy fit. It won't. You must kill it. You must crucify it. But if you remembered what we studied in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. He's doing that for you. You're not having to do this on your own. Every part of your life, Jesus has made provision for you. Even to kill your flesh. It reminds me of the vision we received on the 14th. I see Jesus placing little handfuls of fire that he's getting from the fireplace inside the castle. Jesus places these handfuls of fire inside each of our hearts. Then the scene zooms out and I see individuals chopping off tops of pine trees outside the castle and bringing the tops inside the castle to put in the fireplace. See, Jesus is placing in our hearts this desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. He has given us everything we need to complete this work. And he has raised up others who can go cut off the trees and bring the wood in so that it can be done. Until you're strong enough to go cut trees so there's fire for others. He is giving us everything we need to complete this work. And he's not asked us for anything that he has not already provisioned us to accomplish. We just have to be willing to be strong and do the work. The fire embers he places in our hearts, they're like the fire from the altar that he used to cleanse the lips of Isaiah in Isaiah 6:6. These embers represent his cleansing work that he's doing in us from the evil. The Lord himself is making us holy. Ask yourselves, are you doing the work? Are you taking seriously what he has told us over the last number of months? Cut off the baggage that weighs you down. Get rid of it. Remove those fleshly lusts of just self-pity, just self-love, just this idolatry of the me. Identify yourself by the reality that you have been stamped in the blood. Swim in his pool of grace, which is the power to live set apart and holy lives. Accept the fact that you're an alien and stranger on this earth. You don't belong here. Remove all the idolatrous temples that you go to for comfort, security, and support. See, you can tear down those temples and refuse to let the enemy trick you into clothing yourself with a dead version of you. Let them play with it. You don't need it. Embrace this life as part of a holy priesthood. Remember these words that were given to us by the Spirit of God, January 3rd, 2013. Live in your spiritual identity. Those who don't know, ask. Each day is training. Each day is perfectly and carefully designed, unique to each of you. Each day. Take every day as a chance to hold on to me and be satisfied by me. This is where your freedom from the world and its cares lies. This is not a time to waste worrying about failure. I don't care about your failure. I care about your successes as my children, as my ambassadors, and as my friends. See, if we're taking every day and considering God's involvement with us, that this is a chance for us to just train ourselves to trust him more, and that's our focus, I guarantee you our failures will just start disappearing from our lives. We will be marked by success because he is our obsession, not ourselves. And every day is unique to each of you, which means God is so creative and involved with you, with you, with you, with you, very individually and separately to make sure you get the chance to choose him. Then how about this on January 31st, 2013? I see all of us in a line waiting to see Jesus on his throne. It's not the usual depiction of heaven I normally see. It's outside, not the usual throne room feel. Above the throne is a blue sky and white puffy clouds. The throne is made of rich gold. I hear the song till the very end. I hear the specific lyrics. You can have all my fears, God. You can have all my sin. You can have all my weaknesses. Each of us, one by one, walk up to the throne and present Jesus with the package. Our fears, sin, weakness. And then walk away free and without burdens. I know this is something we are welcome to do every day, especially at the start of each day. He wants it. And then on October 11th, 2012, my sweet children. That one, every time I read it, I stop and I read it like five times. I mean, how affectionate our dad is to us, my sweet children. I mean, he loves us so much. Get that in your head. Never forget the big picture of what I'm doing here. Look down from the heavens and see that I am answering your every prayer. I am doing this work and it is glorious. That's his perspective. I am doing this work and it is glorious. He wants you to see from his eyes. That's why he says, look down from heaven. He wants you to get your eyes off of this world, off of your failures, off of the me, put them on his perspective and look down and you'll say, oh my God, what he's doing here is amazing. It is glorious. And he is doing the work. He's given us the desire to obey him and the ability to obey him. Remember that I have asked you to take risks, and remember that I am stronger and more capable than you think. This whole thing is in my hands. You are in my hands, and I have no intention of letting you go. Whatever you are going through now is nothing compared to what I have in store for you in the future. One day, we will all be together. And we'll have an eternity of rejoicing along with all those who've walked the same path as you. My love is your feast. Man, that is a truth that this body needs to hold on to. My love is your feast. And that feast never ends and never goes dry. All of these wonderful, marvelous, and precious words are intended to burn in our hearts a desire to live set apart from all those believers and unbelievers who have decided to make their abode in this world. Remember, it doesn't matter if someone calls Jesus Lord. The only thing that matters, according to Matthew 7, 21 through 23, is if they do the will of the Father in heaven. And we need to be those who are doing the will of our Father, especially when his will for our lives is not confusing. And it's been made so clear. Turn from evil. Build thy temple. Build my sanctuary. 1 Peter 2, verses 10 and 11, gives us the tangible steps to purify ourselves to properly occupy the priesthood. The one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, and he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. And if we follow through with this preparation, we will be the one whose relationships are unqualifiably defined by the following: harmonious, sharing the thoughts of Christ, like-mindedness. Sympathetic, sharing the feelings of one another. Brotherly, having a firm affection for one another in love. Kind-hearted, tender will describe the nature of our affection for one another. And humble in spirit, considering one another more important than ourselves. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Because we were called to inherit a blessing. And that is to describe me, and that is to describe you. Let's pray. Jesus, this temple that you've asked us to build, first of all, on behalf of the body, I just want to say sorry if we have in any way laid down our tools, gotten tired under the heat of the day or the cold of the night and walking back into our homes. We just want to come to you right now collectively and say we want to be about your temple. We want to build it. We want to build that sanctuary for you to dwell in such a way that others will come and say, we've heard that God is with you. And I thank you that you have been with us. And God, I just pray now that you help us go down this pathway of death, embracing it. Embracing death to all these things that have plagued us, that whole list of things that I read that just still marks this body, that you want purged. all those things that you want us to make no compromise to in any way, shape, or form. God, I just pray that your Spirit would just move powerfully. I thank you that you are doing it, and it is glorious. And I just pray that you continue to complete this in us. We want this. We want this. We want your full blessing. And we want to be holy as you are holy. Help us defeat every enemy and foe that stands in our way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.